Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Woke up this morning before we listened to anybody or anything, and I want to share the words of the Lord that he put in my heart, and then I want to share with you what's happening right now. I heard in my spirit this morning, the world stage is set for the end of all things. Something has shifted. Something has changed. It is no longer the same old, same old. Watch for an acceleration of worldwide biblical events spoken of in Scripture by Jesus Christ and the apostles. No longer perceive the day as normal, for everything will be so different that one would hardly believe that they are living in the land of their beginning. Prophetic words of God are being released now. I heard that in my spirit, so I wrote it down. I said, okay, that's what we're going to talk about on this Monday morning. Patricia Joy, my beloved wife, walked in. She said God spoke to her this morning. She was up early this morning. She said, God said, we've got to work while there's day because the nighttime is coming. And I remembered on Friday, a 15-minute broadcast coming out, that was the exact message that we've got to work while there's light. There's an acceleration happening. And while I was hearing these words and writing them down, I almost felt like what I was hearing is in this difference and everything being different. It's going to be hard to understand. It's going to be like living in a different country. But I woke up this morning after hearing this, and what is happening? You probably watched the news. The S&P 500 has stopped. They've had to put a halt because it was dropping so fast, 7% of the S&P 500, and it was because of the fear of coronavirus. We also heard that there is a Russian-Saudi war that's breaking out over the oil. So oil got slammed, and it's bringing prices down in the United States, but there's a war on oil. And so, again, we're writing about the events that are coming, that this is going to be accelerated. And, of course, when we study out the book of Revelation, the first three verses, and we move just a little bit deeper, three or four verses, you go into that. And what it's saying in essence is that the prophecy that God gave to Jesus Christ, that he gave to John and John gave to the Doulos servants to give to the ecclesia churches, is that when the time comes and the stage is set, It will be the beginning of the end of all things as we know it. Peter wrote to his congregation in the book of Peter. He said, the end of all things is at hand. What did he mean? Well, to Peter and his generation, the entire way of life in Jerusalem and Israel had come to an end. Everything they knew was about to change. The temple was destroyed. The Roman armies came in, sacked Jerusalem, and the people were scattered to the ends of the earth. And I hear the voice of the Spirit of God again saying, the world you know, the country you live in right now, will no longer be the same. It will happen in a day. We have been under siege for a very long time, and we've brought some of our best armaments and defense mechanisms to stand against the siege. The reality is that there's an overwhelming storm, an overwhelming flood. There's an overwhelming judgment. And speaking about judgment, I want to read a prophecy to you. And it was titled, I Have Drawn the Line. I Have Drawn the Line. So let me just welcome everybody once again. You're listening to The Watchman on Blog Talk Radio, OmegaRadio.org. You're also viewing us perhaps on Facebook or YouTube. And again, I want to welcome you to this broadcast. And then I want to share some things that also very important that came out of a PNW article. But here's a word of prophecy I want to share with you. I have drawn the line. I have drawn a line, and it will become clear in the days ahead. This line shall separate those who will and those who will not. To those who will not, they shall experience the loss of vision and fruitfulness. Their thoughts and memories shall perish and will, in due time, know the loss of all things. Even those things they have had and have enjoyed for a season shall be taken and given to those who will. All my resources that are in the earth will be gathered together in this day of fullness and shall be transferred to those who will. Boy, that sounds a lot like what happened for the Israeli people when they were ready to leave Egypt. There was just a major transfer of wealth and resources to the fledgling nation of Jewish people when they left 3,500 years ago, the empire of Egypt. Remember what happened? All the Egyptians threw everything at them, clothing, silver, jewels, gold, everything, and said, get out of here. So God here is talking in the same language, a massive transfer of wealth to God's people. And where did Israel go? They went into the wilderness. Where does the ecclesia go in the last days, according to the book of Revelation? There is a woman that is going into the wilderness. Are you part of that wilderness bride? Well, time will tell. The line I have drawn shall be revealed in the hearts of men and in congregations throughout the land. In the hearts of men, a division of what is holy from what is unclean shall be made. That which is true shall be divided from that which is false, and that which is light shall be divided from that which is dark. To those who will not, they shall find themselves quickly consumed in an unclean environment internally, embracing false ideas and concepts, and being thrown into outer darkness, the absence of light and truth. You know, that must be a very terrible thing to have your mind so shrouded by darkness, deception, delusion, and lies that you don't even know the truth anymore. It's like a distant memory. You can't find it. You can't seek it. Now, that's darkness. And there is a darkness coming. And when the storm clouds settle over the nations of the earth, you will not be able to see. Again, in Egypt, for 3 days, it was so dark, the people could not move. They couldn't move. I don't know if you've ever known that kind of darkness before, but the Bible says darkness is coming upon the face of the earth. And to those who will, now that to the will nots, and what does it mean, those who will not? Obviously, the cloud moves. Obviously, the pillar of fire moves. And it's our responsibility to move on in the eternal purposes of God, right? So to those who will follow the Lord shall come increase. That which has been shall be no more, for the face of all things shall be renewed. My willing servants shall be swept into glorious places upon sure foundations. Last week, we got into Matthew chapter 5 and talked about the foundation, how important it is that we are continuing to build upon the foundation. And it was time to inspect the foundation. Well, to those who are obedient to the Lord, those who are going on with the Lord, those who have separated themselves from what is vile, from what is holy, those who have gone out and said, no, I don't want any darkness in my life. I will only walk in the light. I want no deception. I only want truth. And I want to go on. Well, God says he is going to sweep them into glorious places upon sure foundations. And I'll tell you what, when the storm comes, that's where we want to be. Jesus said, he who hears my words and does them will be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the wind blew and the flood came and beat against that house, it stood because it was built upon a rock, a sure foundation. These who shall be swept upon sure foundations shall have stability in a time of shaking. There's that stability again. Remember last week we talked about the prophetic word in Luke where he said that the commotions, there would be war and commotions, and the word commotion means unstable, that unstable times are coming. Right now the markets are unstable. There's instability growing all over the world, and you need to know that the instability of the systems of the world presently are going to continue to be unstable until, what does instability lead to? Collapse. You need to know this is happening in an accelerated way right now. But here was the promise, these shall have stability in a time of shaking. Ladies and gentlemen, I just picked up this word. I've got over 2,000 words of prophecy that I wrote for many, many years, and God told me this morning that words of prophecy were coming, so I came downstairs, I opened up my closet, I pulled out these particular prophetic words, and this one was titled, I Have Drawn the Line. I said, well, let me read it. I didn't read it before coming on the air, but everything I've been talking about is now being said here. This is absolutely amazing to me. I hope it is to you as well. So these shall have stability in a time of shaking. These shall remain while that which is fruitless shall be taken away. These, my willing ones, shall be advanced into greater realms of understanding and truth. They shall walk in holiness and delight in the fruits thereof. These shall walk in absolute truth, and their freedom shall be seen of all. You will know them by the light upon their faces and shall know that it is I who have shined in them, and upon their countenance shall be a visible light of glory. Wow. Wow. Do you hear what God is saying? God is saying to you and I, in the time of the great storm, in the time of the violence, in the time of the commotions and instability, at the time of collapse, God will have separated you to a place of stability, just like he did to the children of Israel. When Egypt was under judgment, God had a place called Goshen. And in Goshen, there was light, while in Egypt, there was darkness. This is very real right now. We're coming up to Passover, and all the Passover events that happened 3,500 years ago, it seems to be so alive right now. Do you sense it? Do you feel it? And you need to know that when empires are shaking, the kingdom of God is a firm foundation. But it won't be by those who go to church. It won't be by those who give their tithes or their offerings. It won't be by those who go to Bible study or even teach Bible study. It will be for those whose hearts have been sanctified by faith, those who are walking in integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, obeying God when no one is watching. This foundation is for those spirits that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, who have been born again, who are obedient sons and daughters, because everything else that's contrary to that, God is going to allow to go into the great tribulation so that the spots, wrinkles, and blemishes will be taken care of. So the best thing to do is take care of them now. That's what we should have been doing all along, confessing our sins, repenting from things that are not right. This is what we have been called to. And then those who will shall reap the harvest of the words I have sown into their hearts. They shall fulfill every word as I lead them into fullness. Yes, the world is going to shake. The stage is set. The end of all things, as all nations have known it, is going to change. My personal belief is that systems are about to collapse. And out of the collapse and the tragedy of this storm, there's going to rise a new world order. There's no doubt in my mind that a new world order that you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast will rise. And so it's being developed. It's already in process. It's growing all around us. And now it's necessary in order for that new world order to emerge that's been struggling, as George H.W. Bush said, struggling for a new world order to be birthed. The other has to collapse. There's something has to give way. We're seeing the instability. But at that time, you will be reaping the harvest of God's eternal purpose in your life, which is the fullness of Christ in you, the hope of glory. You will be standing on a firm foundation. Oh, we preached a message yesterday called Euroclodon out of Acts 27. What an amazing word of God that was. Anyways, here we go. Promises shall be fulfilled, and substance of that which they have hoped for shall be. So the thing, what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. And then, yet these are just the beginnings for those who will. Sounds to me that the will or the will not people are absolutely divided. There's no more gray ground. There's no more valley of decision. You have to cross over and make a decision. Lukewarm in the middle, I'll spit you out of my mouth. So either you're going to obey all the way and go 100% with Jesus Christ. You're going to yield your entire spirit, soul, and body to him. Give up everything for him. Allow him as much as you understand. You're a I will that the Lord's will be done. And the will nots are going to continue to just fade away. They're going to drop off by the wayside. They're going to stop showing up. They're going to stop obeying God. They're going to continue with the problems of the world. And they're not even going to know that they have slipped into darkness and are trying to handle the pressure and the storms that are coming, and Jesus and prayer and intercession and faith and hope and power and dominion and authority and spiritual warfare is going to disappear from them. They're simply going to fall away into the darkness, and that, dear friends, is a very sad day, and many who profess to know Christ. But the great tribulation may wake them up, and hopefully they will be washed in the blood of the Lamb during those days. That's what the Word of God says will happen. Continuing on in the prophecy, those who will shall be gathered into my plan and purpose for this hour in a deeper way. So there's a gathering that God's talking about, a gathering of the elect, the gathering of the submitted, the gathering of the broken who have fallen upon the rock and have been broken, the gathering of the obedient, okay? And they're going to be part of God's eternal purpose and plan in a deeper way. They shall seem to be transformed as by the twinkling of an eye, and will suddenly be doing what at one time seemed so distant and far away. You're going to, in other words, what I'm hearing, they're going to be transformed. Something's going to outrage. They're going to put on display the glory of Christ in them, and they're going to start doing the works of Jesus that they only dreamed about or talked about or heard about so many years ago. But all of a sudden, it's going to outrage. God has not been laboring in your life or my life without purpose. He is about to unveil his mighty power through a end-time body, a remnant of men and women of God. They're going to walk through these times like the Apostle Paul on the ship during the Acts 27 Euroclodon storm. When that thing was intended to destroy everybody, everybody got saved. The people on the island got saved. It just gets better and better. Watch this. The activity of those who will, all right, the activity of those who will be no more the efforts of entering into my rest, but rather the glorious fulfillment of an abundant life in operation. Remember in Hebrews 4:7, let us therefore labor to enter into his rest. Well, here, this word is There's no longer labor to enter in. These are those who have entered in and are now going to experience the benefit of having entered into the rest. So it's no longer their effort. Something has happened where they're just now going to let the outflow of the anointing go. Hallelujah. For I am reforming all things and bringing all things to another level. I am igniting fires of revival. Where? In the hearts of God's people, wherever God wants to. But I love this. I am reforming all things and bringing all things to another level. Will you let it be? Do you have faith? Can you believe? Can you hear the light, the truth, the glory? We're not denying the shaking. We're not denying the storm. We're not denying the violence. We're not denying that the instability is leading to collapse of all systems everywhere. And when it happens, we have to go through a moment that Antichrist power will rise. We're going to have to go through that as well. But we're going to be operating in the supernatural power of God, and God is going to take us into the wilderness. And what did he do for a whole nation? He gave them water from a rock, bread from heaven. He took care of them. I mean, God gets to be God again amongst his people. Someone say hallelujah. Now, the expectation, watch this, the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Whatever the wicked are expecting and hoping for, right? It's going to perish. There are many who have heard the word and have received a word of prophecy, knowledge, or wisdom for their lives. But unless their conversion is complete, there will be no evidence given of those things that have been spoken. Many are waiting for the manifestation of promises, but no fulfillment of these promises will be had unless their conversion to me is complete. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, I am speaking to those within my congregation who have reserved for themselves the right to sin. Yes, I have drawn a line. It will become increasingly clear in the days ahead. I have planned for some to be sent forth and have desired their conversion to be complete, yet because they are unwilling to give up their pride and selfish ambition, there can be no advancement. So what's the word of the Lord to you and I? Let our conversion to Christ be complete. Reserve nothing. You have prophetic words over your life, prophecies over your life. You want them to go forward, the mighty purpose and plan of God for you, then let go of controlling things. Let go. Give up your rights to Jesus Christ, your King, and let him do what he wants in you, and I'll let him do what he wants in me. That's how it's going to work. God is saying if you're holding back, the words that you've heard are not going to be fulfilled. Let's go on. There remains a stubborn people within the congregation who will be refused entry into my kingdom. Wow, that stubborn spirit. You ever just talk to somebody over and over and over and over, and there's a stubbornness? And God is saying that there remains a stubborn people within the congregation who will be refused entry into my kingdom. Examine yourself. I'll do the same. Is there any stubbornness? Is there any, you know, stiff-neckedness? Any unwillingness to bend and turn? Watch out for that spirit of stubbornness and stiff-neckedness. Watch out for it. It's about getting stuck in a tradition, stuck in a theology, stuck in a doctrine that is no longer or has never been purposeful to God, yet you're in it, you believe it, and God's trying to break you out of it and lead you in another way. Don't be like the stubborn horse. Yes, we can force it to the water, but we can't make it drink. These who have been called but refused to surrender all to me will find themselves as spectators within the walls of my congregation for a time. Spectators. Go to church, you're a spectator. but you're not involved. Not good. Until I come and see they have no wedding garment, these shall be thrust forth out of the kingdom into blackest of darkness. Wow. Sitting in the church, but not having a proper wedding garment. My grandson, Cameron, came on last Thursday, and he spoke about the man that sat in the halls of the wedding but didn't have the garment on. Like, everything we've been talking about is in this word. Self-delusion and a strong delusion will come upon them as they believe a lie. That, you know, there's nothing worse. I've said this for years. There's nothing worse than being deceived by God. If I'm deceived by the devil, God's truth can save me. But if I'm deceived by God, who could save me? Who can deliver me if God causes me to believe a lie? And yet the word of God says that God will send strong delusion that they will believe a lie. That sounds like doom to me. All right. These will become wandering stars. I'm talking about people that go to church here. They will become wandering stars, clouds without water, reserved unto everlasting darkness. They shall never come to the truth. Ouch! Others will become offended at my word and in the way I move through those who have yielded themselves to me and will separate themselves. So the unrighteous are going to become so envious and jealous, they're going to actually be offended, probably oppose and hate those who are righteous, because God's glory is going to flow through the righteous. These shall perish in the clouds of obscurity and will not find their way back. That sounds so final to me. I have drawn the line, and I have entered into the valley of decision with those who are there. I am calling you to turn from your sinful ways and stop doing things your own way. I want you to notice that your ways have not worked, and much of your life is being spent like a dream. All that you chase after is elusive and has no substance. Your end will be bitterness and ultimate rejection. Why would you have things to be this way? Why will you not rather choose the way of cooperation with me? You know, can you imagine living this life in the struggle of it, right? Even as a born-again Christian, battling forces and all that. Can you imagine giving up at the end? And somewhere along the journey just said, I'm never going to give up this area of my life to Jesus. Can you imagine that? And allowing that to turn you away at the gate, to be rejected by God, to be sent away into the darkness, never to find the light of truth again, because you held on to something like what? Bitterness towards somebody? Well, your end will be bitter. Unforgiveness towards somebody? Well, you won't be forgiven. Lust, pride, worship of money, materialism, whatever it is, it's not worth holding on to. You say, it is not fair for the Lord to operate this way. But I say unto you that the time of winking at your sin is over, and I am now calling all men everywhere to repent. And it begins with us. Is there anything? Folks, I mean, if the king is coming to your house and you're cleaning your house, don't you want to make sure it's all cleaned up? Don't throw stuff in the closet or in the drawer and hope he doesn't come in, because guess what? When the king comes in, he's got to send the inspectors through the house to make sure you're not going to assassinate him, right? I'm just making this up as we go, but they're going to go into every drawer of your house, and if the inspectors report back, they got all their dirty stuff in the drawers. They're hiding their stuff in the closet. No, it's time to get it all cleaned up. You think there's a compartment in your soul that you could hide? You have your secret closet of secret sin? Man, no way. No way. The light will expose it, and it will be exposed to the eyes of all. It's time to repent. He said, come to me, all that have ears to hear. humble yourselves and return unto me. Remember the prodigal son. Come. You went out with much, but you have come to have nothing. You went out with knowledge, wisdom, and revelation, but you have been empty-handed. I tell you now that even the slightest hope you have left of seeing fulfillment in your life will perish until you are left without hope. You know, we studied Acts 27 yesterday. Those people came to a place of having no hope. And yet at the time of having no hope, the Apostle Paul gave them hope. You got to take the hope. And for 14 days, even though they were encouraged to have hope, nothing looked like it. It didn't look like everything was just hunky-dory after Paul said, be of good cheer. Get your hope back. No, they went on a 14-day fast, and it looked like doom. And yet they had that spiritual promise of hope. You got to take hold of that. And I hear here God saying, I'm willing to relent if you're willing to follow me. If you want to do this right, you can. If you want to stop playing games today and you want to start serving me now, I will allow it to be. I'm drawing a line. And when I draw it, there will be no crossing over. It will be like the rich man and Lazarus, that there's a whole gulf between me and you, that we can't go to you and you can't come to us. That time of impossibility of crossing over is at the door. This is where we are. And what side of this day are you going to be on? What side of the moment are you going to be on? Have you examined yourself? Have you checked yourself? Are you okay mentally? Is your brain intact? Is your soul intact? Is your spirit intact? Because if they are, then your body is going to come into a greater peace. I'm telling you, watch. Now, he says, I will see to it that all is stripped away from you. I am calling you to a new way of life. I am calling you to a true and living way, a return to your first love. Wow. I am desiring to embrace you as in the beginning days of your intimacy. I love you with an eternal love, and my heart yearns for you. Yet I am the God of justice and righteousness, and my emotions do not interfere with my judgment. I love you. It's like a parent saying to their child, I love you, but you're bringing drugs into the house. You're bringing stuff into the house that's creating chaos. And even though I love you, if you don't stop it, I'm going to have to discipline you. And I might just turn you over to the darkness out there. And if you want to go out there and get involved with the drug and the gangbangers and the drug dealers, and you want to know what it's like to lose your teeth and you want to smoke crack until your brain is gone, I won't be able to reach you anymore because you made a decision. But I love you, and I'm telling you, you're at the door right now. Are you going to humble yourself and repent and come back into the house and start doing it the right way, or are you going to be stubborn? And you're going to take one more step out that door, and it's going to shut. And that's where we are right now. And God says, I will have a people who love me as I love them. God says, I want to dwell with people who love me the same way that I love them. I gave all that I had for them, my son. Is it too much to ask for all you are to come to me? If I asked you for everything, is it too much? Is it really too much for your inner belly? Is there anything you won't surrender to me when I have given you my blood? I mean, God says, I will be with them. I will have a people who love me as I love them. And in them, I will delight myself. God wants to delight himself. He wants to have a party in you. Wow, what kind of a life could that be? Yes, I have drawn the line. I am calling you to examination of your life. I am calling you to change your approach to problems and situations. I am calling you to a new way. The line I have drawn will increase, and as it does, it will make the pathway back impossible. For I have written in my word that it is impossible to renew them after they have tasted of the heavenly calling, after they have operated in the powers to come, and after they have partaken of the glorious reality of my presence, if they fall away. That's written in Hebrews chapter, I believe it's chapter 6. Yes, chapter 6. Verse 4, 5, and 6, you'll read that. It's impossible to renew them. God is confirming his word. Many have fallen away and have not known it. Boy, you talk about being in the dark, where you're fallen away from God. Ichabod has come. The glory has departed, but you don't know it. What is that? Because of a lukewarm gospel and a watered-down message, no compunction for sin is known. Have you noticed it? I've noticed it. There's no longer compunction, grief, brokenness, crying out, wailing, woe is me, like the prophet Isaiah. I am undone. He saw himself. Paul cried out, and he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this rotten to the core condition? Where is that anymore? People kind of fluff around with their sin, right? They're like, well, okay, and it make light of it. Where is the compunction? Oh, dear God, I had no idea I was so close to the cliff. Where is it? Well, the gospel that's being preached today doesn't afford that anymore because everybody wants to feel good. Everybody wants to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, saying to the prophet, say not to us hard things, speak to us smooth things. Tell us things we want to hear. It's a condition of the heart of man. So because of a lukewarm gospel and a watered-down message, no compunction for sin is known. A great mixture has caused deception and a veil to cover the mind of my people. Mixture will do it every time. You mix the water and the wine. You mix it. You water it down. When you mix it, you take away the potency. You mix the gospel. And if it's not mixed with faith, it'll have no power. You mix things and you get drunk, said the prophet Isaiah. The mixture brings a delusion. And the gospel is unmixed, unadulterated in its purest form. It pierces the heart of everything and calls for brokenness and humility to take up your cross and die to self, to surrender everything. Man, are we there? Are we there? So, I will erase the religious facade. I will stand against sermons that are ear-tickling. I will blow the lukewarmness within my congregation with fire. I will blow against ministers and ministries who mix my words for their own benefit. I will oppose the lukewarmness within my congregation with fire. I will set ablaze the ministers of fire within the congregation who have given themselves wholly unto me. These are my flames of fire. Through them I will burn up the chaff and at the same time perfect the gold. What does it sound like? It sounds like God is saying, I don't care who the minister is. I'm going to have vessels in the midst of the congregation who are totally set apart to me. I'm going to set them on fire, and they're going to burn in the midst of a people. My God, can you see it? Can you see it? Yes. I have drawn the line. Come near to me, all who hear and embrace me, cling to me, surrender to me, and hold to me with all your might. Jesus is inviting every one of us to come to him. Cling to him. You know, when you cling to him, you don't have something you're holding on to in one hand and holding him with one. You know what I'm saying? Let go of everything and cling to him. Cling. Hold on, he said. Hold to me with all your might. Surrender to me. Embrace me. For a mighty wind does come, and the earth shall quake. I will be your refuge from the storm. I'm telling you again, I picked this up right before coming on this radio broadcast today. I had no idea of the content within this message. I wrote it years ago, but it's talking about a storm. It's talking about, yesterday I was preaching on Euroclodon. Everything we've been talking about is written in this word. It's a confirmation that we are on the right track and we are saying the right things and we are doing the right things. Listen to this. For a mighty wind does come. And that was the wind of Euroclodon. It was called Euroclodon, this northeasterly wind, right? So a mighty wind does come and the earth shall quake. Yet I will be your refuge from the storm. Let the waters run down from your eyes. Let your heart be tenderized by my love for you. Let the beauty of your salvation bring you to glorious places. You know, this is, you know, it's such a gentle rain here from the Holy Spirit. He's simply saying, let your waters produce tears again. Let your eyes produce tears. Let the waters of your humility, your brokenness, your compunction, let it run. Dear God, forgive me for the way I've been. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for turning my walk with you into something other than what was intended to be. Forgive me for the things I've done wrong. If I've offended God in any way, forgive me. I'm sorry for that. If I've offended God's people or anybody on this earth, forgive me for that. If I haven't treated people well, if I haven't been kind and loving and walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if I haven't been walking in the fruit of the Spirit, what am I walking in? My flesh? God, forgive me for not obeying your word. Forgive me for hearing but not doing, deceiving myself, thinking I'm going to heaven one day. Let the tears run down. Let the heart be tenderized. You know, we get meat for our little dog a couple of times a week, and was told by the veterinarian because he died 10 years ago from rat poisoning, but there was a German shepherd in the veterinarian, and overnight they did a blood transfusion, and they thought little Maxie would be dead. Brain dead forever. Well, we're down almost 11 years down the road. He's still chasing squirrels today. And they told us, get some meat and make sure it's tenderized because the vitamin K needs to be built up and give it to him. And he's been eating it for nearly 11 years now since his death experience. My little dog, Max, our little dog, Max, he died. He's a resurrection dog. We brought him to the church. They played over him, anointed him with oil, violins, and he's came back to life. It's a miracle. But tenderize the meat. Tenderize it. What does that mean? It means the meat, the heart, goes under the plow. It goes under a device and it breaks up all the stuff. It breaks up the hardness. Jeremiah prophesied, let the plow your hearts. Bring back the spirit. Let some water come out of the hardness of the rock of your heart. To feel again. Do you know, we live in a society where they've done everything through Hollywood to try to make us numb to the pain. Pink Floyd sang a song, Comfortably Numb. I've become comfortably numb. Don't be comfortably numb. That's not a good condition of heart to be in. Let the beauty of your salvation bring you to glorious places. And finishing this up, this is what I have desired for you. This is why I created you. Why will you not have it to be so? A great release of satanic spirits have been sent forth into all the world. These spirits are to guard the work already done within certain localities where humanism and man's philosophy, demonically inspired, have ruled. But now these spirits have entered into the congregation. Many wolves in sheep's clothing are about my people, and I call to my shepherds to guard the flock. And think not to gain man's admiration, for in so doing you shall entertain demons. Wow. Wow. Come on. Come on. Watch. To all I say, to gain man's admiration, watch. To all I say, watch. To those who will not, they shall become prey to this demonic influence and shall come under their spells. Truth shall perish, yet to those who will, my truth shall be as loud as ever. From the housetops, the good news will be proclaimed, and those who it is sent to shall embrace it and enter into it with vigor. Wonderful experiences shall abound, and long-awaited dreams shall come to pass. I will empower you with a fresh anointing that you may walk without fear in the earth and shall become a terror to darkness. This is my third day anointing reserved for the faithful. That's the end of that prophecy. All right, so we took 46 minutes to get through that. Unbelievable. Almighty God. We have some work to do, don't we? But before I go any further, what I'd like to do, see, for those of you that are listening online, if you would like to call into the broadcast today, you're welcome to do so. And let's see if we have some comments online here. Dave, good morning from Dave and Nicole. Hello, David and Nicole. God bless you both, man. Can't wait to see you. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in today on YouTube and to the rest of our friends on YouTube and Facebook. God bless you. I've just been reading a prophetic word that was written many years ago, and it just absolutely came out before coming on the air. I didn't know what I was reading, but I read it and thought, my God, how miraculous are you? Waiting for your call this morning. If you have any questions or comments about what you heard, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you into the call. And I've got a call coming in right now. So I'm going to put on my headsets. I'm going to turn up the volume. I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to say good morning to area code 605. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When you were speaking today, it related back to me about a vision that Tommy Hicks had about the church in the earth today and what was going to take place. And it was done in the 1960s, God gave me that vision. And like you said and brought out today, the glorious church of Jesus Christ is going to overtake, is what his vision was about, the darkness that is covering the earth today. And Jesus Christ will be reigning and ruling through his people.
Amen. I totally agree with that. And I believe it's going to be that powerful and probably a double portion to anything the church or Israel has ever known in their life, that God has reserved the best for last. And the call to come to him, to be empowered at this moment, to see supernatural things like Paul in the middle of the greatest storm called Euroclydon, saving every soul that was on that ship. I believe that that is where God is bringing us, but it's happening quickly now. You're looking at the markets today. There was a halt on the S&P 500. They shut it down. It was going down so quickly. The fear of coronavirus, the panic is rising. Clashes between Saudi Arabia and Russia over oil. And I believe what God said is that right now the stage is fully set, and we are going to see the acceleration of biblical events all over the world. Put on your seatbelt, get ready, but don't be locked in. Allow the Spirit to guide you. Kathy, I think you're right on.
Praise the Lord. And you know, the only thing that dispels darkness is light, and that's what God's people are supposed to be.
That's what we are. We are light in the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, dear lady. Well, God bless you. Thank you. Get your rest. I know that you guys went through a good transformation or transition time. So we'll talk more about that, but be super blessed. And thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. All right. What a great call. You know, I so deeply appreciate our friends in South Dakota. They always call into the program to, you know, let you know this is the time that we're to talk now. I've done my talking. Now we bring the voice of many waters. What did you hear in the prophecy? Kathy just shared what she heard. What did you hear? Were you in agreement with it? Did something stick out to you? Is there something you want to confess? Do you want to be broken? What do you want to do with this moment with what you just heard? You're taking the time to look at us on YouTube and Facebook. You're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio or Omega Radio. What is it you're hearing? What does this do to you? Do you say, well, I already know that. I've already heard that. Well, then I understand. But was there any provocation, any pricking at the heart, any call, any inspiration, anything joyful that God just said to you? Is there something that you would like to share? Well, the way to do that is call the number 818-369-0326 so that we could hear your thoughts about what you just heard. And you press one on your dial pad and we'll bring you right into the broadcast. I'm seeing a lot of people right now tuning into what looks like both Facebook and YouTube. I want to say good hello to everybody. That's a good hello to everybody. There is an article, while we're a little bit delayed, what I'll do is I'll share this article. This came out of Prophecy News Network, okay? And the title of this report, and again, this came out this morning, and what I heard was, the World Health Organization promotes cashless society over virus fears. Watch this. Following reports that Beijing had quarantined dirty cash, the World Health Organization warned on Monday, that's today, that the virus could survive on banknotes, potentially spreading COVID-19 within communities and across the world. To reduce the risk of being infected by money, the NGO advised citizens in countries struggling with outbreaks to favor digital payments when possible, the Daily Telegraph reported. That the World Health Organization is telling the public to avoid cash is hardly a surprise. Research has found that coronaviruses have been found to live on surfaces for as long as 9 days. Well, during the statement, a World Health Organization spokesman referenced a Bank of England study claiming that banknotes can carry bacteria or viruses and urged people to wash their hands. Other studies have shown that 90% of U.S. $1 bills had bacteria present, and one Swiss study found that viruses had survived on the faces of Swiss francs for days. So the World Health Organization's warning follow the People's Bank of China last month started disinfecting currency deposited at Chinese banks using ultraviolet light before quarantining the bills for a week before releasing them back into circulation. Brits and their fellow Europeans should be increasingly careful as the virus spreads across Europe, the World Health Organization warned via the Telegraph. And here's the quote. We know that money changes hands frequently and can pick up all sorts of bacteria and viruses, a spokesman told the Telegraph. We would advise people to wash their hands after handling banknotes and avoid touching their face. When possible, it would also be advisable to use contactless payments to reduce the risk of transmission. Well, of course, that one of the world's major NGOs is seizing the opportunity to proclaim the virtues of paperless money is hardly a surprise. Thank you, and God bless me. Thank you. So the globalist push toward a cashless society has been underway for years now, having had its biggest successes in Scandinavia. Sweden has gone virtually cashless, and in such a short time, they've already confronted the many drawbacks of relying exclusively on digital money. So as we noted previously, here is what happens next, okay? So according to them, the virus spreads throughout the U.S. and Europe, and governments respond the same way China's government has. Martial law and full-blown concentration camps culture. This would lead to civil war in the U.S. because we are armed and many people will shoot anyone trying to put us into quarantine camps. Europe is mostly messed up. So the establishment then, there's another word there, that's why I laugh. The establishment then suggests that paper money be removed from the system because it is a viral spreader. China is already pushing this solution now. Magically, We find ourselves in a cashless society in a matter of a year or two, which is what the globalists have been demanding for years, because there's a system coming, as you know, that you won't be able to buy or sell in during the Great Tribulation. That's how fast things are ready to go right now. All right, so everything goes digital, and thus even local economies become completely centralized as private trade dies. A viral outbreak is a significant danger to us all, but an even greater threat is the supposed cure. Trading our economic and social freedom in the name of stopping the coronavirus, no matter how deadly the bug, it's just not worth it. So again, that is an article coming out of Prophecy News, and I appreciated that deeply. I've got another call coming in, and this looks like it's from my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
Good morning. I was really taken back in what I just heard regarding the taking of cash, because now the coronavirus is pushing a thought that this will be a very deadly thing to do. Well, this is nothing more or less than the mark of the beast. And who will be ruling over it all? We have come to that place, and we need to understand that this has been planned for numerous years, decades, ages to come about. But it's always been stopped one way or another. Let's say just brought into a position where it can't manifest as fully as it has desired to. But we're dealing with the one world order, and this is the way it is. And the virus itself is being used and manipulated to continue in this manner and way, where everybody will be under the control of the one world government, the one world order, and the Antichrist. We're moving quickly, we're moving fast, and what you mentioned has a altogether, I think, the beautiful work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place of readiness to understand what is being perpetrated upon mankind right now by the dark spirits, the spirits of the devil, the spirits of Satan, manifesting in this manner and this way through men doing their filthy work. So let's get strong. And what was mentioned on how to be strong, how to be in the Holy Spirit, how to move in the goodness of God, I am very happy about. So let's realize what really is going on.
Well, amen to that, Patricia Joy. Amen to that. So praise God. This is a day, all we could say, and with that call coming in, Patricia, the long-awaited plans of the New World Order have arrived, and they're going to use everything in their power to force things into a direction. And we would say, like the Apostle Paul going on that ship, I believe that if you take this journey, there will be much harm and devastating events that are happening. But we must prepare and continue to build upon the rock. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, all right. Well, Patricia, thank you for calling in. I've got a few things I want to just say. We have about a minute left in the broadcast. If you are watching this on Facebook or on YouTube, would you please give a thumbs up or subscribe to any channel and let people know that we're doing this Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. For 1 hour, we're coming on. We want to give people opportunity to tune in. We want to have conversation. We want to hear the voice of many waters. God, use this time. Again, work while there's light. The nighttime comes when no man will be able to work. This is our work. We came on the air today. God gave us something to prepare and equip you. Now we're going to continue to work. We're going to get off the air. We've got a lot of stuff to do today in the realm of preparation. Ladies and gentlemen, the stage is set. Let me read it one more time. This is what God said this morning. The world stage is set for the end of all things. Something has shifted. Something has changed. It is no longer the same old story. Watch for an acceleration of worldwide biblical events spoken of in Scripture by Jesus Christ and the apostles. No longer perceive the day as normal, for everything will be different that one would hardly believe that they are living in the land of their beginning. And that's where I'm going to end it for today. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and Facebook. But right now on Omega Radio, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 24/7, omegaradio.org, a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier. You're going to love it. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.